Today on Real Life Radio.
Everything's encompassed right there. In those few verses, he is Savior, he is Lord, he's God, he came, he saves, and he takes us to him. It's all there. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all right there. And so we're going to be treading on holy ground as we get into these verses today.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Part 1 begins in the book of Philippians chapter 2 with verses 5 through 11. Now, in these verses, Paul encompasses everything about who Jesus Christ really is. He is God, the Savior, our Lord, and he came so that we might have eternal life. The title of our message today, Only God Can Save You Now, carries a great sense of urgency. Yet, it's not just a statement to view with a sense of hopelessness. It is an absolute fact. The real danger is not seeing it as both urgent and important. For example, Paul tells us that today is the day of salvation. This is an urgent call requiring an immediate response, but it's also an important biblical truth. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus saves us uniquely by coming down to us. He is mindful of our salvation. This mindset is an attitude he possessed and displayed as an example to follow. We need to let go of our own outlook and put on the mind of Christ. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the very fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. Before anything else happens, we want to proclaim that he's Lord. The greatest statement, as we'll read today, as we'll study today, the greatest declaration, the greatest announcement, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and the magnitude of the meaning of that place of his, and how we relate to the fact that Jesus Christ is preeminent above all, that he came for us. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd bless this study of your word to our hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Church, grab your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, as we pick up not only our study into the new year, but dive back into Philippians chapter 2, where we left off last time. And today will be part one of a part two, possibly part three message. And the title is this, and that is, Only God Can Save You Now. Only God Can Save You Now. How do you hear that? We have a tendency to hear that statement, because we've all heard it before. Oh, only God could save us now. Or was that the word of those on the Titanic? Or maybe those on MH370 when the Malaysian airliner was going down. Is that what they said? Only God can save us now. We have a tendency to view that title in light of a crisis. Oh my goodness, things are so bad, only God can save us now. I do understand emotionally us making that declaration. We associate that statement with a crisis. It's kind of like prayer. Have you ever been around people who, when you say, you know what, I think we ought to pray about it, they'll say, is it that bad? Well, wait a minute, why didn't we pray about it sooner? And the reality of this title, Only God Can Save You Now, wait a minute, it's not a declaration of a crisis, it's a declaration of a fact, an ongoing, perpetual, always present fact. It doesn't matter how comfortable or how uncomfortable you are, it doesn't matter how rich or poor you are, it doesn't matter how religious or non-religious you are, the fact of the matter is, right now, at any given moment, only God can save you now. Every one of us will enter eternity. There's no escaping it. But only God can save you. That's what the entire message of the Bible is all about. And Paul in chapter 2, in verses 5 through 11, where we find ourselves today, the ultimate bottom line announcement is that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it's how you understand that fact that determines the rest of your eternal existence. The decision you make based upon the declaration and how beautiful it is. Because ladies and gentlemen, remarkably in the 21st century, We are being brought to an age and a culture where I just read yesterday 1.7 million people have either been displaced or martyred by ISIS, and their declaration before they kill you or drive you away is to declare that Muhammad or Allah is Lord. Isn't that interesting? We haven't seen it on a global scale like that since 2,000 years ago. When the Bible says Jesus is Lord, the reason why that was a very costly statement back then is because guess what? Who was declaring that he was Lord? Caesar. We haven't seen that magnitude on the globe like that since now, up until now. It's been unmasked again. Interesting. Is Jesus Christ your Lord? That is the eternal decision. I find it interesting today when we talk about only God can save you now. That carries with it, obviously, the sense of urgency. Have you noticed? I'm so tired as you are. Everything's urgent these days. Have you noticed? Everything's urgent. You get a thing in the mail. Urgent mail. Respond. Act now. Right? The TV, the news, or the advertisements. Act now. Wait, there's one day left. Act now. Urgent. I'm so tired of it. But listen, there's a danger in that because you and I are so constantly bombarded by the call to be urgent about stuff that number one, you know what goes out the window when everything gets urgent? Things that are important go out the window because urgent always pushes the important away. Number two is that we become desensitized to the cry of urgency. And this is where we're at as a culture. Yeah, right. You know the Chicken Little story, which I don't know it very well, but I know it enough that didn't he cry the sky is falling a whole bunch of times until nobody believed him anymore? Isn't that it? Kind of it, right? Listen, that's where we're at today. People hear about God and hear about Jesus and, whatever. That's why the danger of urgency has been so compromised and watered down that now it's not even heeded. It's not even listened to. But the fact of the matter is, only God can save you now. That goes for all of us. Are you a Christian today? Well, only God can save you now. That's always been true. Are you not a Christian? Well, listen, only God can save you. Amen. So we're all in this room, in a sense, in this together. Only God can save us, but the difference between some of us in this room today is that there are those here who have let God save us. We've listened to that invitation of His. And then there are those who are holding out on him. They don't want anything to do with him, or they've not been brought to that place of challenge. But listen, be careful about urgency. I don't know, when I think about urgency, I think of very few things. I think of Joshua speaking to the children of Israel and saying to them, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You choose today whom you'll serve. That's urgent. I think of the urgency of Paul the Apostle when he says, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Boy, that's urgent, don't you think? I think it is. Perhaps the greatest declaration of urgency is by the mouth of Jesus himself when he said, behold, I come quickly. Be ready. No man knows the day or the hour. That's pretty urgent. Urgency. Make sure that your urgency is tied to importance and you'll never go wrong. Second chapter of Philippians, verse 5 through 11 is where we pick it up, church, in your Bibles. Look there if you would. The Bible there, Paul says to the Philippian believers, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, verse 9 says, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Someone say amen to that. Amen. You know, it's well said and well taught. Many Bible scholars of old have declared that these few verses in Philippians 2 are the greatest statements made in the entire Bible. Now, that's a huge statement, I think. I mean, I have my favorites, and I guess if I think about it theologically, that could easily be adopted as a favorite for this reason. Everything's encompassed right there. In those few verses, he is Savior, he is Lord, he's God, he came, he saves, and he takes us to him. It's all there. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all right there. And so we are going to be treading on holy ground as we get into these verses today. Only God can save you. Number one, we'll look at it this way today, verses 5-7. In our note-taking, mark it down. Only God can save you now, and he saves uniquely by coming down to us. You need to write that down because not every Jesus that's out there in the world is the Jesus that has come down to us. There's the Jesus of the cults that did not come down to us. There is the Jesus of Judaism that does not come down to us. There's the Jesus of... Let me try that again. I just washed my tongue. I can't do a thing with it. There's the Jesus of Islam that does not come down to us. Only in the Bible, in Christianity, is it the Jesus that comes down to us uniquely. Why? Because only God can save us now, and this is how he does that. So we mark it right here in verse 5, uniquely mindful of our situation. Listen, he came down to us, and it is uniquely mindful, Christ is, of our situation. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is a huge statement. Just look a little bit back, verses 1-4. What are we talking about? What mind? If we were taking a Bible cruise today through study, we would say, what mind? What mind are we talking about? Let this mind, what mind? Well, it's the mind found in verses 1-4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if there is any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of this one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition, listen, and conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each one esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Why is he saying this? Why now does it go into verses 5-11? Because that's the mind and actions of Jesus Christ. This is the life of the Christian. Listen, if you're an atheist or if you have an axe to grind right now against the church, and that's your argument, so let's say you're boasting as an atheist, I don't believe in God, and you start to attack the church and expose all of its failures and blunders, and listen, and that's the reason why you're an atheist? Oh, yes. Let me write a book. This is why God does not exist. The church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. Listen, my friend, your argument is flawed to the beginning. Nowhere did God invite you to look at the church as an example and then believe in God because of the church's example. Listen, the church is stumbling constantly and blundering along the way. The church can't save you. If you want to write a book on how messed up the church is and thus you don't believe in God, listen, we can give you some material. We can help you with your book. Of course the church is messed up. Every Christian's messed up, but Jesus isn't. Jesus saves, not the church. Oh, Pastor, the church I go to, you have to be saved at our church. Listen, that's not in the Bible. Well, you have to be baptized by our priest. Well, that's not in the Bible. Well, you've got to have holy water sprinkled on you. Well, that's not in the Bible. It's only by the blood of Christ. It's only by Jesus at the cross. Only God can save you now. That's good news. That's not a declaration of crisis. That's a great reality, a great truth. And listen, Jesus is uniquely mindful of our situation. Let this mind, now as a Christian, I'm supposed to let the same mind that's in Christ be in me. The word mind here is sometimes translated disposition. That's a good word. Let this disposition or attitude. Some of your margins may have in your study Bible attitude. Let this attitude, which is in Christ Jesus, really be in you. And so what does that mean? It's amazing. Circle the word let. Do you know what the word let means? Let. It means this. It's powerful. Watch. When it says let this mind... If you're a Christian today, Paul is writing to the believer, and it means this. Now that you're a Christian, and because you're a Christian, let this mind go. Just let it go. What mind? The mind of Christ. The attitude of Christ. The disposition of Christ. Just let it go. Listen, it's a bold statement, Christian, because this immediately hits us with nowhere to go to achieve the mind of Christ. According to this verse, according to this word, it's been imparted to us. Are you a Christian today? If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit has given you this attitude that Christ has toward sinners and toward the lost and toward the hurting and toward those that are wounded and those that are hungry. According to the Bible, the Holy Spirit has given you that same attitude that Jesus has. That's amazing. Think about that. I want to kind of soak in this for a minute if you think about it. We think of that being so obscure from us and not according to the Bible. This is the greatest and I think maybe freeing declaration that we can hear right now as Christians. What do I do now that I'm a believer? Let this mind be in you. Isn't that a tremendous thing? How am I going to do that? You don't do it. You just let it. How's that song go? Let it go. Let it go. We need Elsa to sing that song. Just let it go. Let the Holy Spirit develop the mind of Christ in you. An attitude, a disposition, how you see things. Listen, how you view things. How do you look at things? Let this attitude, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Everything that's going on in the world around you, you're either going to look at it through your eyes, I'm going to look at it through my eyes, and I'm going to have the wrong conclusion, I'm going to have the wrong observation, and I'm going to wind up being panicking, messed up, and scared about it, or I can look at it through the mind of Christ. We need to put that into action because it's something we already possess. Now listen, I'm going to give you a verse. We all probably know this verse, but I would hope today that we understand it a lot better than we ever have, and it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. It almost sounds like a bold contradiction, but it's not. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Pause right there. None of us can instruct God on what to think and what to do. We've all tried. It's never worked, not once. You can't tell God what to do. You can waste your breath, but he doesn't listen. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Church, you know what the answer to that question is? Nobody. You can't know the mind of God. God is spirit. We are physical. God is God. We are not. Who has known the mind of the Lord that we should instruct him? But, says the apostle, we have the mind of Christ. Does that sound like a contradiction? It does when you look at it, but what does it mean? It means this, that as a Christian, if I will just stop, get away from the urgent, so to speak, focus on the important. And that important thing is, Lord, what would you have me to do about this relationship or this situation or this illness or this pressure or this dilemma? If we would just wait and stop for a moment. That verse tells us, watch, that we can have the mind of Christ regarding that thing. It doesn't mean that you're smart as God. It doesn't mean that you are having all the thoughts of God and that you are just like God. That's not what it means. It means that if you pray and you say, Lord, I need your wisdom and your word on this thing, the believer has the mind of Christ regarding that thing. Somebody say amen. That's good news, you guys. Think about how great that is. We can connect with God about that particular issue or that challenge of our lives. And we can have the mind of Christ about what to do or what not to do regarding that thing. Let this mind or attitude be in you when you have a heartbreak or a heartache. Why? Because Jesus taught us how to strengthen himself in the Lord. We need to do the same thing. When your heart's broken, go to the Lord. Let this mind or attitude be in you when you have a health issue. What do? God gave you your body. He knows. We live in a fallen world. It's full of sickness, but you belong to him. He died on the cross not only for your sins, but to completely redeem you, and your body belongs to him. Do you have a sickness? Do you have an ailment? Something hurting? Are you a Christian? Yes. Then God, listen, my lung hurts, or I've got cancer, or I broke my leg. Lord, your leg's broken on me. I belong to God. It's his issue. And he will not abandon you in it. Let this mind or attitude be with you in the case of hardships of life. How's that? Because Jesus put his hope in his Father. When Jesus was on earth, Jesus trusted in his Father to get him through, to deliver him. Let this mind or attitude be in you when you're faced with fear. The world is full of fear today, and it's increasing. You know, you look at the things that are happening. Oh, it's scary. Well, listen, I want to encourage you. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's time to trust in God. Listen, I don't want to bum you out. It's a brand new year, but it's going to get more fearful. So you need to pick right now. Are you going to let the fear run you over? Or are you going to realize, hey, my God's sitting on the throne? God knows, Jesus knows everything about what's going on. He bought me on the cross, rose again from the dead to save me, and he knows what's happening. Amen. You and I are living right now for such a time as this. Now, someone has wisely said that your outlook determines outcome. And that's very true in very, very many things, but it's certainly true in the spiritual realm. How you look at things, listen, the story, the event, and the end of it may be catastrophic, but that doesn't change the reality of God. Your outlook determines outcome. You say, well, what if everything falls apart? In the outcome, God is God. He's the Lord. And then someone has wisely said, and if anybody in here is a pilot, this kind of rings true to you, is that your attitude determines your altitude. It's kind of a little play on words there. If your attitude is that you look at life's issues and you know that Christ is on his throne and you're a Christian and you belong to him, then I tell you what, you guys, life gets about 90% more bearable instantly because you're looking through the eyes of Christ, as it were, through your life situation. Your attitude determines your altitude. Altitude determines your attitude. If you're flying an airplane, if your nose gets down, if you're down... Right? If you're in a funk, you're going to start going down, right? And that attitude will determine your altitude. You're eventually going to hit the ground. Christians never have to hit the ground. You say, well, yeah, well, what if I'm dying? Well, if you're dying, we just might all hook our wagon to you and go with you. I mean, are you a Christian? Yep. Well, you're just going to wind up in heaven. Where do you think this train stops? We're going to heaven. We keep forgetting that. We're going to heaven where Christ is. And that's a wonderful thing. The second thing that we see here today is in verse 6, that only God can save us now. He saves uniquely by coming down. And he's sovereign to save us. Notice, he's sovereign to save us from us. Yes, he saves us from our sins. Yes, he died on the cross. That's done. But he's uniquely sovereign to save us, from ourselves. We are the greatest threat that's to our lives today. It's us, the decisions we make, the things that we think about, the things that we allow in and out of our lives. It's us. I am my greatest problem to me. Not you, not the devil, not taxes, not the government. Me.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio in a message called Only God Can Save You Now. Thanks for listening today. Our hope is that you answer God's call by accepting his son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. We'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, I know you're pretty excited about this month's, I'm going to call it the product of the month, which is a movie. Normally, we do a book of the month, right?
Yeah, exactly right.
But this month, we're featuring the movie Genesis, Paradise Lost, which is about the book of Genesis and science and how God is the author of all of it.
Yeah.
But you're pretty excited about it, particularly for students and our homeschooling audience. Is that right?
Yeah. For those who are homeschoolers, they have to have this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just absolutely have to have it. For those of you who are attending secular school, you must hear this. It is a must. For those of you who are on the front line as public educators and administrators in the public school system, this is a must. This film is an excellent tool for you to use in sharing the truth of God's word with your friends, with people who do not know, and they're not going to get exposed to this stuff. If you're the vehicle by which you can introduce them to this kind of truth, then it's going to cause them to have to think.
Yeah, good stuff.
And that's the key, is that people really need to start thinking about where they came from, who they are, and where they're going. And again, this is a great film that will get all of those intellectual juices flowing.
Genesis, Paradise Lost is available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.